Now, my goal as far as flow and how it's set up, I want people to be able to watch movies, of course, stream, blah, 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 but have an idea. Okay, like I see that this creator has this type of creative style. I have an actual project that I'm working on, and I've been looking for someone who complements that style. So I'm watching all their films on Screen Indie. I can also book them on Screen Indie. So it's just like it helps not only the person who was streaming that film, but also the person who created that project. And on the streaming side, as far as the sign up flow, you just have access to streaming films right now. We are working on incentivizing streamers to earn, as well as the creators on the other side. So that's currently where we're at now.
Welcome to Josiah's Voice. This podcast connects you with both new storytellers and seasoned pros in Black cinema. Plus, I share my own creative journey along the way. Here's to elevating the culture. What's up, folks? This is Josiah. Welcome to another episode of Josiah's Voice on Black Filmmaking. Really hyped to meet Richard Turrentine. He's my new guest today. We're here to talk about his new company, Screen Indie, his studio, Turrentine Studios, entrepreneurship, and combining those factors together to create a really creative and inviting film networking experience. He's out of the DMV. If you've been following the podcast for a couple of years now, you know I'm from the DMV, PG County, Maryland specifically. And I thought that was really cool, you know, to learn about him on his website and Instagram, that he's also, you know, from Pretty Girl County as well. And he's just using his gifts and sharing his passion for filmmaking and networking and bringing people together. So without further ado, again, please help me welcome Richard Turrentine. Richard, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Josiah, and my fellow PG County brother. It's a pleasure to sit here and speak with you today.
Likewise, man, pleasure is all mine. Let's jump right on in, bro. What is Screen Indie?
Yeah, so Screen Indie is a streaming service for independent filmmakers. It's something different than other streaming services. We allow our creators to submit their films non-exclusively and set up their own pay-per-view calls, or they can stream for free. On the flip side to that, we allow creators to network and get booked for future projects they have in mind. So I like to call it a social streaming service, because it's not like the traditional streaming service in the sense that you just submit a film and that's just it. I mean, we take the bigger step in ensuring that these creators that we're partnering with are earning money for their projects and also increasing their visibility for their projects. So that's in a nutshell what it is and how it came about. I'm a director and cinematographer in Los Angeles independently, and I've struggled with getting my work to be monetized and, you know, increasing visibility of the projects that I've worked on. So I thought about the idea, and before any of that, I talked to a few of my colleagues in the industry, and they all kind of experienced the same type of hurdles with placement and also earnings for their projects. So took all that information and just went full-fledged and found a design and development team and, you know, built Screen Indie. You know, it was just everything stemmed from just a need and something different and something that was that you felt comfortable partnering with and positioning yourself to move forward and to have some type of security in your distribution post-production. I just felt like there was nothing out there that encompasses pretty much brought all those things together. So That's kind of how the birth of Screen Indie came about. And since our launch in August of 2021, we've had steady growth with our daily signups and also our daily active users on our platform. We've been able to really obtain user trust. That's important with any startup. Just establishing that user trust where people feel comfortable enough to work with you to help your post-production distribution process. Because as you know, it can be a very stressful and not so transparent transaction just with funds and everything. So that's kind of been my thing. But yeah, that's in a nutshell about Screen Indie and kind of how it all came about and where we currently are.
Dude, that's cool, 'cause you're right. I don't think I'd ever thought of that. And what's funny is it kind of feels like a social aspect to streaming you'd think would be everywhere, actually. But then when I was looking at your site and looking at what you were doing on social media, I was like, no, you know what? Yeah, I've never, like, as far as I'm, like, this isn't on any special level of Netflix or HBO Max or, yeah, I mean, we got 100, what feels like 100 million different streaming services. I don't know that this is necessarily the case on Vimeo, or maybe they tried to do that, and, of course, YouTube. It almost kind of feels like LinkedIn in some sense, for like thrive, or not, well, yeah, we wish that you for all to be thriving, budding filmmakers, with the emphasis on if you want to be following the person's progress, you can follow them, because if they're enjoying their home here on Screen Indie, you're gonna get alerts, you're gonna follow their progress. But it feels to me like a one-stop shop, because you know how you like, I don't know, you might have heard of Michael B. Jordan at the start of his career, but maybe social media was really young, and you were like, well, how do I follow? How do I know what he'll be a part of next, or what he'll make next, or whatever? My mind went to that when you're talking about the need to be able to, maybe as a consumer, follow someone whose art you really believe in, but also it could be a home for that, for said artist, to kind of track their progress. And I just think that's really cool. Do you remember what really sparked the idea, or was it something you'd always had?
Again, just my experience working in the industry. I moved out from the DMV to Los Angeles in 2015. And, as we all know, you don't just jump right into the industry. You have to set a foundation. So I ended up getting a job. And this is what I'm about to say also inspired Screen Indie. But I ended up working at Uber. I worked in the Uber office. At a very entry level job position, but it was cool because the office was small. It was a remote office, and I was literally rubbing elbows with the engineering team, the account executives, and all these like important people that are essentially running Uber, So I took advantage of that opportunity because I'm like, wow, if these guys can do this, I can run the tech office, but I need to figure out in what capacity do I need to do this. So that's essentially what gave me the fuel to go about and having the confidence to say, oh, I can do this. So I married that experience with, again, the need for this type of platform to help serve independent filmmakers. To again give them longevity within the entertainment space and not have to think that they have to always chase that blockbuster level of success to be successful. You can have longevity in this business and not have to do any of that. You can remain independent and truly own your work and art and still thrive. So that those two things is what gave me the confidence and reassure the responsibility that I had to create this platform for artists.
Can you think of like the biggest challenge you faced with birthing this idea and how you overcame it, you and your team?
That's a good question. So I did a lot of research before I even, hired anybody or just did any outreach as far as developers or design or designers. So I put together a mock-up. I did some research. I found out, okay, you need to put together a mock-up to showcase and show your design team or developers like what your ideas of. Like in how things are going to function. So I did that. I put together a business plan, and I so that gave, I'm a visual person, so that gave me a perspective on like, okay, this is how this is going to be done, and these are what's required again for the site. So I didn't have any luck the first go around. The first team that I hired, long story short, stole money from me, and it was a huge learning curve because I felt like I had done all of my due diligence in regards to doing research
Yeah.
and hiring the best team to get it done. Now, it's a very ambitious project because, again, the technology and the features that I wanted to present to, essentially the market has never been done before. Like, this is a totally different space. It's not just a traditional streaming platform. So that was a huge hurdle. But when I was able to get over that, I was able to find another team that was able and competent enough to build out my vision, essentially. And it's not a smooth process. It takes time. And I've learned that just throughout this journey. And there's things, again, that I had to learn, but I'm thankful enough that my lead developer and my design team were patient enough to explain things throughout the process. So it's a bit of it was a bit of a humbling experience because I would be in meetings with my team and I didn't know a lot of what was going on as far as the terms and terminology of building a tech company. Like, this is a totally different space.
Sure.
I'm a filmmaker. I don't really know, but I know what creators and people would appreciate, as far as a streaming service and a partnership would look like, but the technical terms I struggle with. But so I've been, again, fortunate enough to have a team and people that are very paid had that were very patient with me and explaining everything and how things work. So that made everything a lot easier long term. But the initial startup just problems, I mean, everything happened. I lost money. I just
Yeah.
it was rough, man. But what kept me sane and what kept me, going was, again, the need and the responsibility that this platform serves. And again, it's to help people, so that's what kept me going. I mean, I thought about giving up, and there's a lot of money at stake, and it's just it's not instant gratification. This is a long-term play, And I stress that not only within my team, but within the users that we serve in. Like, don't expect to become a millionaire overnight. This is a long-term thing. You want to be able to create a project where you're eating off of it long-term over the next 15, 20 years. You might not see it within the first 3 to 6 months. But, give it some time
Yeah.
to build traction and really sit with it, So it's been a crazy journey, an emotional roller coaster. And I will say, Screen Indie, I have three businesses that I operate. Screen Indie is my problem child, as I like to say, in a good way, in a good
Oh,
way, because it's just like
no.
it's
Okay.
there's always something new to learn, and it's just a it always tests your patience just with things. So it keeps me always on edge, but I love it. Like, I love it, absolutely.
Can you name like a great reward of this journey, of this Screen Indie journey so far?
Absolutely. The recept the we get emails from our users, and even on social media, people make comments and they send us emails saying, "Oh, this is such a really cool platform. It's different from other platforms." So that just confirms what we're doing is right. It's the right thing to do. It's dope. It's something new and creative. And even doing and even having conversations like this with people like you, just people are interested in learning more about the platform, and these things are it's all confirmation to what we're doing is great, you know. And, you know, so th I think those are the things that really ensures and keeps us going. So yeah.
And the for people just now learning more, can you break down again, if I heard you right, like it sounds like there are tiers of some sort or features, you know, whatever fits you. There's like, I think, creator feature or just streamer. There's free, there's premium. Am I going the right track, or can you clarify that for those who are interested?
Yeah, so there's two different types of sign-up flows. One is the creator flow, where let's say if you are, again, you're a filmmaker and you're looking for non-exclusive distribution, like partnership, you can sign up under a creator flow and you could upload your film. And again, you could set your own pay-per-view costs, or you can stream your film for free. Now, internally, we do take a 15% commission fee from all of the pay-per-view transactions. But that, again, that's just a service fee that we need to, you know, take to, again, keep the site up and running. And then you do have access to creating a creator profile. And with that, you can list your services that you provide. So let's say you're a cinematographer or director or producer or even an actor, you could that's linked to your actual film page. So you can set your day rate. So people want to book you for a future project that they have in mind. You could set your day rate and set the different types of projects you've worked on and like your creative style and be booked for future projects. Now, my goal as far as flow and how it's set up, I want people to be able to watch movies, of course, stream, blah, 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 but have an idea. Okay, like I see that this creator has this type of creative style. I have an actual project that I'm working on, and I've been looking for someone who complements that style. So I'm watching all their films on Screen Indie. I can also book them on Screen Indie. So it's just like it helps not only the person who was streaming that film, but also the person who created that project. And on the streaming side, as far as the sign up flow, you just have access to streaming films right now. We are working on incentivizing streamers to earn as well as the creators on the other side. So that's currently where we're at now. But yeah.
Now, see, that's really, really clever and ingenious because it's calling to mind fusions of things I like Voyage LA or Shout Out LA. For those who don't know, that's a publication in Los Angeles that just it's a magazine that just spotlights LA artists. I've been fortunate enough, you know, it's exciting to I've had a couple write-ups of my own work. So is my dad, so is other friends of mine. It's great. But it also reminds me of things like Vimeo or shortoftheweek.com or Omoletto. And it's like Voyage LA and like Short of the Week wrapped in one. Because it's like you can, it's in a film reel. It's like an interactive, that's what I'm getting. Because it's like you watch someone's film or you read an interview of their business or their film. And at the end, it's like, you know, their Instagram or their email, so you can get in touch, or their website. And it's cool the way you're describing Screen Indie, because it's like it's all, and from what I've seen, it's like it's all built in. Like you were just saying, it's like though the ideal is you getting involved in whichever flow, streamer flow, creator flow, you can, as I if I was listening to you correctly, you can like just fall down a rabbit hole of someone's films. I do it all the time online. And if you're trying to like crew up your next project, or you're looking for a writer or an act, it's film. All the departments are going to be on display in the person's short film, their feature or whatever. And then all their information, LinkedIn, Instagram, email, you can just kind of follow their whole journey right there. It's like you're getting to know them, and you're like, maybe they would be a great fit to collaborate with or work with or cast this person, or maybe they can. Yeah, it's just it seems to have filled or will fill, can fill a need of just really top shelf networking, just kind of cutting out the middleman. I don't remember who the middleman was, but it just seems you've built in a lot into a platform like this.
Yeah, and it's also bragging rights from a streamer standpoint because it's like, damn, I was a part of this person's journey when they first started, and now they're just like this known, recognizable person. Like we would have all been would have been just in awe of saying, oh, I was a part of Denzel's journey when he did his first movie, and like I remember he was doing all these things, and I was a part of his growth. You know, it gives you that sense of ownership, you know, and that's what we're trying to create for sure.
That is so cool. I just because I enjoy watching people's short films or just any web series, whatever. And just when I really like something, like I said, I fall down the rabbit hole where I'm like, okay, what else have they made? Are there any interviews of this person, of their team, or like, or then there's the fun of spotting an actor from a film or something in another production, and you're like, oh, I remember them from such and such and such, and just that fandom, you know, or if you're a creator yourself, that sense of admiration of like, let me keep my eye on them, and it's great that I can go to Screen Indie because this person is registered on there, putting out their amazing work, putting out this ongoing film reel of what they do. And when you're ready, it's like you stayed ready so you didn't have to get ready because it's all there on Screen Indie. At least that's how it is in my mind.
No, you're exactly right. That was well said. Exactly right.
That is awesome. Anything else that you want that the people should know about Screen Indie?
I'm very excited about so one thing, I'm gonna back up. One thing that I really enjoy about this business is that there's so many different verticals within it. So, you know, not only are we, I mean, we have, and again, we have to do one thing right before we're able to do anything else first. So we've nailed the streaming site, this side of it down, but we're looking also to get into the space of having annual film festivals and even doing film competitions and, you know, being able to do grants. So all these things again complement the core of the business, right? So
Yeah,
that's I'm
I love
excited
this.
about doing all these amazing things down the line, again, which will help the users that we serve. So I'm looking forward to and again, these are things that I just didn't even think about when I had the initial idea. You know, but they develop over time. It's like, oh wow, there's a lot of different verticals within this business that we can explore, and again, will ultimately help our user base. So I'm really excited about those things and how we're going to be able to position ourselves to go about it, you know. So that's what I'll leave off of.
I love it, man. Look, for all those who are interested in learning more about Screen Indie, where can they find it? Where can they learn more?
Yeah, so our website is live at www.screenindie.com. We also have Instagram at ScreenIndie altogether. Also on Facebook, ScreenIndie. So yeah, sign up is free, stream for free. And yeah, looking forward to having you.
That's awesome. Ooh, guys, all right. We're just getting started here. We're just going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back with more with Richard Turrentine. Stay tuned.
Want longer episodes before everyone else? Excited for exclusive VIP content? Or maybe you'd just like to support the show? You're in luck. Josiah's voice on Black filmmaking is now on Patreon. Become a member today at patreon.com/Josiah's voice. This episode of Josiah's Voice podcast is brought to you by Newsly. Newsly is an audio app for iOS and Android. It picks up web articles about the most trending topics on the web at any given moment and reads them to you in a natural, smooth human voice. It won't be my voice, but no app is perfect, but this one's pretty close. Because for the first time in the history of the internet, the entire web becomes listenable. Browse articles from topics you choose and start playing. You can follow any topic as specific as you like, from sports, science, to Bitcoin, or pop culture and movies. It will find you the latest articles and read them to you aloud. And they have podcasts as well, exploring trending podcasts from over 50 countries. Like this one. Download and use Newsly for free now from www.newsly.me. That's www.newsly.me. Or from the link in the description. And use my promo code, Josiah Voice. J-O-S-I-A-H, Voice. I'll put that in the description for you. When you click it, you'll receive a 1 month free premium subscription to Newsly. Stop scrolling. Start listening with Newsly.
Were you destined to work in film?
No, to be honest. I mean, I know for sure I was destined to be an entrepreneur. That's for sure. Because I knew as a kid, okay. I mean, I remember being good with my money, and I remember just creating creative ways to make money. But I just didn't know in what capacity would that be, like, as far as like long term. I remember my first entrepreneur endeavor was cutting grass. I would shovel snow and wash cars. So I was always key and always found a way to make money. But again, like, I just didn't know, like, those things that I did, I wasn't passionate about. I was just like, I just want to make money. So I think even going to Howard, well, not I think, I know when I went to Howard, I was able to marry the two. Entrepreneur and film entertainment. So, you know, and again, I started out charging people for music videos, things of that nature. You know, people say, you know, you shouldn't charge, you should work on building your portfolio and then charge people. Like, I never even questioned that, because I felt like I always needed to get paid for my services. And I didn't have the portfolio to back it. But again, I had that entrepreneurial mindset from the past as a kid, and knowing that, okay, if I provide a service or I do something for someone, I get paid for it. There's no such thing of, you know, not being paid for my services, or even subscribing to that term, starving artist. I never subscribed to that. And I always stress to people, like, it's important not to play into that and tell yourself that, because that's not okay. You should always be compensated in some way for what you do and the services that you provide. So I believe at Howard was when I found, okay, this is what I want to do long term, and this is how I'm going to make money long term. And you know, again, having that backing, an entrepreneurial mindset, and again, finding my purpose and passion within film, marrying the two, and that was it. So, but I was fortunate enough to be able to find that early on in my life, because that has made life a lot easier. You know, being able to have that foundation, that passion foundation, to rely on something makes your life a lot easier. It truly does.
Yeah.
So I get up happy knowing that, okay, I can work on this film project, or I can do this, and, you know, I can earn, you know, from it.
Has being an entrepreneur always been easy for you?
No, especially in the film space. I started out shooting weddings, music videos, and doing even shorts. I lost a lot of money, especially doing weddings. My first wedding, I lost $500. I was so green. I just didn't know the ins and outs of what was expected. From my point of view, the deliverables that, you know, that I gave to the client was great. I mean, the video looked great, but they just wasn't satisfied. Now, I did not, they did not pay a deposit for the project. So, you know, that's something I had to learn early on. And
I
there was
understand.
no contract. It was just like word of mouth. So like, you know, that's something I just learned and got smarter as I continued to, you know, go about it. So it was stressful. Again, I also learned early on not to do everything. You know, I'm a cinematographer and director. So I don't need to be editing. I don't like to edit. You know, so for that I learned, you know, outsource somebody, you know, factor in how much you're going to need to well, pay yourself comfortably, but also factor in how much it's going to cost to hire an editor. And so I did
Yeah,
that early on.
exactly.
I just don't, you don't need to do everything. And it's just, it doesn't make sense for you to do everything, you know, because you're going to burn yourself out and it's not going to pan out to, you know, how you want it to. So those are the things that I learned early on, for sure, a lot of learning curves early on.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it. I even had similar experiences with wedding videography as well, and losing out on money and no contracts and bad communication, being green, a lot of frustration, and man, yeah, you're bringing back old memories and old lessons learned.
Man, you lose a lot of
And
money, you
the
just be like, okay, it's time to really get it together because I don't like losing money at all.
say that. So let's fast forward now. Now you're building up your studio, Turntime Studios. What's the story behind that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So first off, I'm bad with naming things. So I figured, okay, I'm doing all these projects. You know, I need to come up with some type of identity that backs what I'm doing. So I just came up with Turntime Studios. I used my last name. And it's even diving deeper and learning more about my family's history. We have a crest, a family crest. And
That's your logo, isn't it?
yeah, so it's inspired. My family crest is inspired with the logo that we had that I use now for my company. So that just kind of reassured everything. And it was simple. I just needed a name for what I was doing. And just also, you know, giving brand awareness and understanding the quality. So the rich history that I have, and even having a family crest, that's a quality that's stamp of approval reinsures, okay, this is a quality brand that is to be trusted. So I had that mindset going into creating the company and even having the logo. It's like, okay, when you work with me, there's full transparency, there's professionalism, you know, you get the best quality work. So that's how it all came about. And yeah, I started working on music videos and doing short films and just working on all types of videos in the city. And you know, I was always booked. I mean, I was working every weekend on a project, and it was because I gave good quality and I was very punctual, being on time, and my turnover, my timeline for turnover was within a week. So artists and people that I work with knew, okay, we film it on Saturday. By next Saturday, I'll have a draft of my video, you know. So it was really just living up to my family's crest and even my family's core values and quality, you know.
I just wrote that. What are your core values? Just seemed like something I should ask you.
Oh, just personally or just professionally?
Maybe a little both.
Okay. My core values is punctual, being transparent, giving good business. I really, really work at, and I always work at giving the best business. Like I love it. Because it always you always get new business, you know, when you can give good business and you people can, you know, make comments and like just, you know, always you're essentially a trusted brand. That's what I'm trying to say. So that and I'd say those three for now. Yeah, those are, I wasn't really thinking about that, but yeah, those are my core core values that I live with and that has helped me in this business and even personal life.
That's awesome. Is it true you have a ranch? Did I hear that right? Have I seen that on Instagram? Turntime Studios has a ranch.
I do have a 5-acre ranch in Lancaster, and I rent out the space to creators to shoot movies, commercials, music videos, photo shoots. I've been able to work with some of the biggest artists in the world. It's something, again, it's something that I didn't know I was going to own land. I mean, I own two properties, but I didn't know I was going to own these two properties before 30 and do all these things. But just being out here in Los Angeles and understanding the needs and wants within the industry and being open to exploring these different things has landed me here. I mean, my listing is number 2 out of 7,000 listings on Gixter. And
Wow.
it's just a testament of, again, the services that I provide. And again, going back to being punctual and honest and giving good business, all these things that I've pledged myself to has awarded me this in regards to, I'm always booked. I'm a book, if not every day, every other day. I have clients filming all the time.
Yeah.
And I give them the best experience they could ask for. Understanding that and understanding the importance of land and property ownership as a Black person, these are things that was taken from us, and so that we couldn't create an economic base.
Yep.
People are into, frivolous things
Tell the
that,
truth.
don't really truly mean anything. But when I bought two parcels of land. I have a ranch in Lancaster, and I have land in Big Bear. But when I was able to close on both of those deals, and I was able to get my title and deed information for the parcels, I mean, it was a game changer, and it was a very emotional time because it's like, wow, I own land. I'm a young Black man, and I own land. And I'm out there often, and I love to get my hands and dirty, and I like to, flatten out the spaces and cut down bushes and stuff, and I like that stuff. It's very peaceful. But yeah, never in a million years I thought would I have thought that I'd own land before 30 and do all these things, and be able to again monetize the space in a respectful way. So
Right.
I'm happy for that.
This is powerful, man. Yeah, it's quite an inspiration to be able to do that. In fact, yeah, at any age, being Black, having passion, having a purpose, creative outlet, I'm working on some things like that. I think things are looking up here on the continent in that regard. So I can't wait to be where you're at, actively tending to things and stewarding over that, because that's just amazing. And again, our hats off to you, and applause for being savvy and clever enough to see some needs that you could meet. What are some favorite films or shows you had growing up?
Man, I remember. Okay, so are you familiar with Marlow Heights movie theater? It's an old theater from back in the day in the DMV, and it's near Iverson Mall.
No, I can't say that. No, I don't.
Yeah, but so it's right off of Branch Avenue. But I remember my mom took me and my sister to see Jurassic Park, the very first Jurassic
Wow.
Park. I think it was 1993 or
Somewhere in there,
4, one of them
yeah.
years. Yeah, but I remember she took us to the theater and I was blown away. I mean, I was probably about like four or five. But being able to see those dinosaurs and even looking back, just understanding, I was impressed with the technology that they used to do the movements of the dinosaurs. Because I at the time I knew dinosaurs weren't real. My parents were very, clear on, fiction and facts. So I knew that the dinosaurs weren't real, but I was amazed on how they used and they did the movements with the dinosaurs and how they chased people. So I was impressed by that at an early age. That franchise still, like, that's my favorite franchise ever, because I just remember going to the theater as a little kid and having that experience. It wasn't boring. It was engaging. It was like, next level. So yeah, Jurassic Park for sure. And that's something me and my family share. We love the Jurassic Park series, and it's definitely my favorite film, and I watch that all the time.
That's awesome. Is Spielberg one of your favorites? That was my next question, about filmmakers, favorite filmmakers.
Yeah, I like how diverse. Well, he's a white man, so he has the creative space to be diverse and do all types of different genres. But I like his model. He's able to do all different types of genres. And I don't know. I feel like a black person isn't awarded that opportunity to be in so many different genres of filmmaking. So I like that part of Spielberg. He's able to do all types of film and be great at everything. So I definitely look at that model and I'm like, okay, I want to do something similar to that and not be known for one specific type of genre, which is fine, but me personally, I don't I want to do all different types.
Love that. What would you demystify about cinematography?
Wow, that's a great question. Well, it's definitely an essential part of filmmaking. The techniques, composition of the scene, the lighting of the set, or even the location, and even the choice of cameras that you use, and as well as the lenses, all play a part in the emotions of the story that you're telling, but again, it's also like less about the equipment that you use, but more about how you use it. That's what I've learned just being a seasoned cinematographer. It's all about how you use it. And I'll never forget Bradford Young taught me that. He told me that a long time ago. I was doing behind the scenes for one of his projects in New York a long time ago. And I showed him my little rig and he laughed. He was like, man, that's cool, but it's not about what you have, but it's about how you use it and how you're able to tell the story. So from that, like, I was able to just redo kind of what I was doing, in a different way.
I heard, I'm forgetting the guy's name, but he was a cinematographer for Jaws. I went to like a lecture or a talk he was doing, maybe it was in Baltimore, and someone asked, what's your favorite piece of technology as a cinematographer? And he gave a similar answer to yourself. He said, the originality of the filmmaker. It doesn't matter how fancy the camera lenses, etc. He really stressed your creativity and originality and finding your own voice is his favorite piece of technology, film equipment. So that's
I
great.
agree.
What do you love most about being a cinematographer and about the craft?
Man, my favorite thing about cinematography is being a craftsman and a technician. You have to know your stuff. You have to know. You really do. And knowing and working the technical side, again, of exposure, lighting, lensing, framing. I said lensing, framing.
Lindsay.
And understanding that all these things have to work together to meet the vision, the overall vision of the project. So again, having that responsibility is what I love the most. And I also love building the camera. That's my favorite thing. I love, getting a set early and, doing pre-production. Well, not pre, I'm sorry, pre-production, but during the call time, just having that time to really just put everything together. The lenses, the camera rig, and putting the monitor on. I love that because I love working with my hands. So that's what I love about cinematography. And even working with a really cool director and really being able to explore and learn different things while we're on set, like sticking to the script, of course, but looking at different things in another perspective that we didn't initially agree on, So, yeah, it's my first love within this space for sure. Cinematography
That's
is.
dope, man. Hey, do you have a favorite element of camera, like color, lighting, composition, lenses?
I'd say composition for sure. And being able to use different camera support systems to, again, get the best shot and execute on the vision. I think all these tools have a specific job, and it's my job as the cinematographer to delegate, and I'm talking to these tools, right? To delegate these responsibilities to, again, meet the needs of the project. And I love being able to explore those things. Now, granted, within cinematography and camera work, there's like sub jobs. So you have the jib operator, you have the Steadicam operator, right? So all these things complement it. So I like being able to, again, my favorite element within cinematography for sure is composition. And being able to like play and do these different things to, effectively tell the story.
Cool. Do you have any favorite cinematographers off the top of your head who you've like followed and they've like influenced you, if at all?
Bradford Young for sure. I mean, he's like hometown hero for me because he went to Howard and he's alum. So definitely Brad. Yeah, that's Ernest Dickerson as well. He's dope. No, I just love how they their composition. I mean, especially with Brad. I mean, he man, his I don't know what camera he uses or the lenses, but his composition and his ability to capture the emotions within the scene is just like next level. And just knowing him, like working under him, he's just such a chill, relaxed observer. He's a very quiet man when he's on set. Like he just sits and watch. And I think that's another key to becoming a really good cinematographer is you have to have that level of zen and have that quietness to be able to be observant and just to see things instead of having to speak. Just see how things are.
I like that.
So.
Okay. For those who are new, what are like maybe two projects off the top of your head, Bradford Young is known for, or Eric Dickerson, that people should check out?
Yes, Selma. That's one of my favorites from him. And even yeah, Selma. I think that Selma's probably the most one of my favorites that he's done.
Why is collaboration and also mentorship important?
It's everything. I mean, it plays into your ability to truly succeed. When I was starting out in cinematography, I was fortunate enough to gain a mentor. His name was Edward. His name is Edward Wood Underwood. He was and still is a known DC photographer, well-known photographer. I mean, his work is amazing. But he took a chance and hired me to like be his videographer for the weddings that he was shooting. It was a very nerve-wracking experience, but he saw something in me and gave me a chance. And I mean, I didn't know the man. I mean, I was introduced to him through someone else that I actually knew. But he saw my work and he gave me a position to not only explore my creativity, but to also earn money. I mean, I made my first $1,000 with this man. And yeah, it was, I mean, being a broke college student, you make your first $1,000. It was just a life-changing experience. But more
That's
than
right.
that, I mean, he has always given me game just about the business and even life. So it's everything, and I feel like I truly wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for, Ed. Like, honestly, I mean, and I look at that and I understand my responsibility now, being in a position to help someone else's life, to give someone a chance and an opportunity to grow and to, So, yeah, it's everything. Mentorship and even collaborating is everything. I mean, it truly plays into your success for sure. I mean, because without it, you're lost. You don't have any type of person to guide you, or to give you advice along the road that you can trust.
That's great. I can see a lot of mentorship coming out of Screen Indie as well. Everything will happen organically, but just to have that hub like that that you're creating with the with that passion and that belief already, what you've experienced as a mentee, coming up under others' wings and just seeing that influence, it's ripe for opportunity for people to not only become friends and colleagues, but to also be like, yo, I'm looking for a mentor, and maybe you're it, and maybe this is the home for it or something like that. Just seems like a great ecosystem or world for that potential. Because I got friends, who are like, I'm looking for, directing, cinematography, acting, what have you. I think that's fantastic opportunity. Because I've really enjoyed just your authentic self here, both personally and professionally. Guys, I hope you've enjoyed this discussion and learned a lot about cinematography, about Screen Indie. Again, check that out. We're going to share the socials and everything again in just a second, but I hope that this was also good on a personal level, because like I just said, we are people, and we tell stories, we capture stories on camera, we direct stories, we start businesses to bring people together. And I love how Screen Indie and Turrentine Studios are anticipating and fulfilling needs. Again, Richard, how can people keep up with Screen Indie, learn more, and also keep up with you and what you're creating, and also if they want to make use of the services that you provide through Screen Indie and Turrentine Studios?
Yeah, you can go to www.screenindie.com or even follow us on Instagram at screenindie. I do have a website that encompasses all of my business and even my creative efforts at turrentinestudios.com. That's Turrentine studios.com. There you'll see all of the projects that I've shot, worked on. You'll see information on my film lot. And also screening the information. So yeah, looking forward to connecting and collaborating with you. And yeah, thank you so much, Josiah. What you're doing is amazing. Just the stories that you're allowing people to share on your platform. I'm inspired and motivated. And yeah, I'm in the space of we all can help each other. And I just was really excited to have this discussion with you today and learn more about what you're doing and give you some of what I do as well. So thank you.
No, you're absolutely welcome. I'm feeling especially inspired by some of your business model and just your savviness and your that sight that you have. And we'll definitely be talking off mic more. I'll definitely be emailing and or DMing with ideas and questions, whenever you have the time, because I just feel inspired to just reevaluate my own gifts and my own strengths. How I can be of service and creative, be it with the podcast, of course, this space I want it to be of help, but also maybe in other arenas as well. Like you said, observe and pay attention. So you're welcome. And again, thank you so much for sitting down and talking to me to share about your filmmaking and personal journey. Guys, if you enjoyed this, you can subscribe to Josiah's Voice on Black Filmmaking wherever you get your podcasts. If you enjoy bonus content and longer form video interviews, check it out on patreon.com/Josiah's Voice for that exclusive content. And please follow Richard Turrentine. Get involved in Screen Indie if you think it's a good fit for you, all my filmmakers listening, as well as those who are just looking for the next latest and greatest short form film and other music videos and other amazing content that you can find that's found a home on Screen Indie. All the information I'm going to put in the show notes and on Josiah's Wiz podcast.wordpress.com. And again, thank you, Richard Turrentine, for sitting down with me.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening. I'll talk to you on the next one. See ya.
If you enjoyed that episode, I invite you to subscribe on your favorite listening app. To keep up with the show, you can follow me on Twitter at JosiahDOCX and on Instagram at Josiah's Voice Pod. And if you like my theme music, it's called Brewer B by Mateo. The link is in the description. Thanks again, and talk to you later.